This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to be here with you this morning in the house of God to worship and to fellowship together. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. We want you to know that you are welcome here, and we hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place and that you have a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you this morning. There are registration pads at the end of each row toward the center aisle, and hopefully those are already making their way down. And if you wouldn't mind signing in this morning, that would help us in our ministry. And if you're visiting with us and would be willing to share a mailing address or an email address, that will give us an opportunity to be in touch with you and share some of the ways that we are trying to live out God's love in our community. We have a few announcements this morning, actually a lot of announcements. Many of them are printed in your insert, your bulletin this morning, but I want to highlight a couple of them. First and foremost, I want to introduce to you a new person who's joining our team here at West End. Jeff Cody is making his way up here this morning. He is going to be our new property operations manager. And this is the man to go to for all things building and operations. And Jeff and his wife, Rochelle, are living here in Nashville. And he's excited to join our team, and we are so excited to have you. So he will be working Sunday through Thursday, and he's going to be busy, I think. So welcome, Jeff. A couple of big events coming up this week as we begin to move toward our fall. On Wednesday, an open house from 5:30 to 7 downstairs in McWhorter Hall. It's a chance to for Brandon and me and our families to continue getting to know you, but also for you to have a taste of Barley to Rise, the company that will be providing our food on Wednesday nights. So please stop by on your way home from work, or if you're passing by, try the food and have some fellowship together. Then next Sunday, we want to remind all the children and all the students to bring your backpacks to worship. We're going to have a blessing of the backpacks in both services on Sunday morning so that we can begin the new school year in prayer. So that's a reminder to you. And then at 9:45 next Sunday, we'll have our mission celebration downstairs in McWhorter Hall for us to hear about all the different ways that our youth and adults have been in mission this year. So I hope you can come and celebrate with us. This morning in our worship, we hear the wonderful and strange story of Jacob wrestling with God. And I pray that as we hear that story and as we worship together, you feel the presence of God close to you in this hour of worship. and thirsty.
Lord, will provide for our needs.
Come this day to the table of the Lord.
Here we find welcome and sustenance.
Come to this time of gathering and praise.
Lord, we come with open hearts and spirits to receive your gracious gift of love.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard your cry at the meeting. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for this day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And then there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket at the thigh muscle. This is the word of God for the people of God.
When I was in college, one of the things I loved to do every time I came home was to spend a little time at the piano. I had taken piano lessons most of my life, stopped taking them before I went to college. So by the time I was in college, I had forgotten most of those pieces, and all I could play were hymns. So I would sit down at the piano and open up the hymnal and play my favorite hymns. I remember one afternoon, my father came into the living room, sat down on the piano bench next to me, and said, "Do you want to see my favorite hymn?" I said, "Sure." And I thought he was going to open up to "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," or "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," or even "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." But instead, he opened the hymnal to number 386, a hymn I had never seen or sung in my life. The title is "Come, O Thou Traveler Unknown." It's written by Charles Wesley, and it has four verses that are printed with the music. And then if you turn the page, number 387, it's 14 verses composed by Charles Wesley. Apparently, Isaac Watts said this was the greatest poem ever written. Charles's brother John tried to read it at Charles's funeral and broke into tears and couldn't finish it. And as we read it together and played the music, it has this beautiful Scottish sort of Celtic melody to it. And the words are so profound. And yet we never sing it, really. In any church that I've served or the church that I grew up in, we don't sing this hymn. I think the reason we don't sing it very often, if at all, is because it is so specific to this story of Jacob wrestling with God in the 32nd chapter of Genesis. It's all about that wrestling match. And that's not a story that we hear very often. I'm typically one who follows the lectionary in my preaching, and I think this is a congregation also that is in the practice of hearing the lectionary readings every Sunday, this three-year cycle of scripture readings that are scheduled. And the wrestling match of Jacob and God only comes up once every 3 years. And we've been studying the Matthew's Gospel together this summer. Every time I have preached, it's been from Matthew's Gospel. And I was going to continue with that, but when I saw the Jacob wrestling story, I had to jump out of Matthew's Gospel and grab the opportunity to explore this story with you. It's such a unique, odd little story that leaves us, I think, with more questions than answers. For those of you who may not be quite as familiar with the Jacob saga, let's zoom out a little bit and remember where we are in Jacob's story. Now, we may remember that God had chosen Abraham and Sarah to be the ancestors of God's people, the Hebrew people, the Israelites. Abraham and Sarah had one child, Isaac. Isaac married Rebekah. And just like Isaac's parents, it took them a long time to conceive a child. And finally they did, not only one child, but two, twins. And the scriptures tell us that these twins wrestled in Rebekah's womb. Even before he was born, Jacob was a wrestler. And God spoke to Rebekah during her pregnancy and said, "The older one will serve the younger one." She interpreted that to mean that the younger brother was the chosen one, the one God wanted to carry on the covenant. And when they were born, the firstborn was the strong, red-faced, ruddy Esau. But as he was being born, there was a hand grabbing at his heel, and that was Jacob. So Jacob was named Grabber, wrestler. That's what his name meant. Even as he was being born into the world, he was grabbing and wrestling for that blessing from God. He wanted to carry that birthright. But according to all the rules, Esau was born first. He was the firstborn. So he had the birthright, the inheritance, everything. But Jacob, along with some help with his mother Rebekah, managed to get that birthright away from Esau. You may know the story. The first episode is Jacob tricks Esau with a bowl of soup. Esau comes in from hunting and is starving, and Jacob is stirring this delicious-smelling pot of stew, and Esau asks for some, and Jacob says, "Sure, I'll give you some if you'll give me your birthright." And it's that easy. Blink of an eye, Esau is willing to give up his rights as the firstborn. That's how much he cares about this covenant. So Jacob gets that from Esau. And then the second piece of that, he gets his father Isaac's blessing through trickery, through dressing up like he's Esau, and pretending and deceiving his blind father. It's not a pretty story. And Jacob doesn't come across as the nicest, most sympathetic of characters. And yet he's the one who carries forth the covenant of God. Of course, you know, after he steals the birthright and the blessing, Esau's going to kill him. And so Jacob runs. And he spends 20 years away from home with his uncle Laban. And it's there that he marries, and he has lots of children, and these 12 tribes of Israel begin in Jacob's family. But the day comes when God finally says to Jacob, it's time to go home. It's time to face the music. It's time to come to terms with your brother, with yourself, and move into this next season of the covenant with me. So that's where we find Jacob. When this passage begins, he's on the shore of the Jabbok River. He has sent his wives and his children and everything he has over the river, preparing to meet Esau, and he spends the night alone. And then there's this strange sentence. A man came and wrestled with him until daybreak. What man? Who is this man, and why was he wrestling with Jacob? What is this wrestling match all about? And it's gradually revealed so that by the end of it, we know that Jacob has been wrestling with God. Because this man who comes to meet him says, you have striven with God and with humans. There is so much in this little wrestling match, in this story. So many different ways this story can teach us and bless us and reveal to us who God is, reveal to us truth about our relationship with God. But at the very basic, most simple level, I think this story tells us that God invites a good wrestling match with God's people. It is okay to wrestle with God. In fact, God prefers a wrestler and a grabber and a struggler than one like Esau, who doesn't even care about his relationship with God. I think that teaches us a lot, because many of us treat our relationship with God like Esau did. Kind of know that God is there, but I'm living my life, I'm concerned about filling my belly and having all the things in my life I want, and not that interested in engaging with the God who created me, not that interested in knowing what God wants of me or asks of me. It's easier just to live my life and let somebody else have that wrestling match. For others of us, myself included, have spent much of my life believing that my relationship with God was supposed to be nice and polite. When I go back and read some of my journals from my early adulthood, oh boy, was I so nice. I go back and read them, and I know that underneath I was really wrestling with some stuff, but I wouldn't admit that to myself or to God. I wouldn't dare bring that into my prayer because I didn't want to offend God. And yet here God is, meeting Jacob, the grabber, the wrestler, right where Jacob is. God appears in a form and a shape that Jacob can wrestle with all night long. And Jacob never gives up. And we can read the Psalms and so many other stories in the scriptures that invite us to express our anger, ask our questions, express our doubts to God, even shake our fist at God at times. Because at least then we are engaging in a relationship with our Creator. And we trust that this one who names us and loves us will never leave us. God was not offended by Jacob's grabbing or wrestling. No, in fact, God blessed it. Now, Jacob didn't get all the answers he wanted. In the middle of that wrestling match, Jacob said, "Tell me your name. I want to know your name." God never reveals God's name in Scripture. Sorry, you don't get to know that, Jacob. And we may come away from our wrestling matches with God without answers, perhaps without the things we were looking for or asking for. But what we are given is a face-to-face relationship with God. And that is enough. As Charles Wesley wrestles through this hymn, Come, O Thou Traveler Unknown, there's a verse where he says, Speak to me now, tell me thy name, and tell me now. And the next verse begins, 'Tis love, 'tis love. What Charles Wesley learned in his wrestling match, that the nature of God is love and relationship. I think that's what Jacob learned too. He didn't get his answers, and he walked away with a limp. He would never be the same after that wrestling match. But he received a blessing and a relationship with God that he would never lose. He walked away with a new name and a new purpose for the next season of his journey with God. May it be so for us and our wrestling matches.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us this morning. If you're a guest among us, we're especially glad that you're here. We hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers will be there and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service to answer any questions you might have. You can look for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record your prayer requests there. And please indicate if they are to be shared or are confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you haven't already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew toward the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know following the service. This morning, we extend our sympathy to the friends and family of Rod Bragg, who passed away on Sunday, July the 30th. A service will be held on Thursday, August the 10th at 2 p.m. at Trevecca Community Church. And now I'd like to invite Bill Ferris to come up. He's going to give our mission moment this morning.
Our church will again build a habitat next month for Daniel Beach and her two children. Please read the insert in your church bulletin. The church pledged to Habitat that we will fill 75 volunteer opportunities over 6 days, 4 weekends, starting September 30th. The dates are in today's bulletin. Mark these days on your calendar and be ready to help someone's dream come true. There is a day available for you. The Habitat table in Reed Hall for signups will start September 3rd. If you want to commit early, contact Lisa Guak by email or by phone here at the church. Both men and women are needed, young and old. Carpenter and home skills are not required. You can volunteer multiple times. In the past, we have committed $30,000, one half of the cost for this home. To date, we have collected over $16,300, with $13,700 still needs to be raised to fulfill our obligation. Please consider making a gift today or this week. Simply mark Habitat on your check and place it in the offering plate, or give online at westendumc.org/givetohabitat. I'm proud to say, as in the previous 14 years of this church building Habitat houses, We have always met or exceeded our commitment. Excuse me. Early on the morning of September 30th, we will see a stack of lumber. And on the evening on Sunday, October 22nd, we will see a home. We thank each of you that have already pledged your money and will give your time for Daniel's new home. Now, with that said, with God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. As we prepare to serve the servers, just a word about receiving communion in this congregation, especially if this is your first time here. We'll be guided by the ushers to come and kneel at the altar rails. The choir will be served first, followed by our friends in the balcony and the transepts, and then the nave will be the last group to be served. As you come, there will be no dismissal, so we come and go from the altar rails, and if you will present your hands as open, that will allow the servers to know that you have yet to be served. Our mission giving for this month, as we heard from Bill Ferris, is for Habitat. If you feel led to bring that gift to the altar this morning, we invite you to do so. As always, of course, there is a gluten-free station available closest to the lectern, so just let those servers know that you need that, and they'll come to serve you. Lisa and I will be moving about in the congregation. If you're unable to come from your seat, we'll come and serve you where you are. Let us prepare to receive this gift of God, another reminder of God's invitation into relationship. you stand as you're able and join with me in giving thanks for what we have just received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.